It is February the 2nd. We have five games on a Sunday night, as well as another, well, it's a blockbuster trade, but when compared to the previous night, it's actually not. But still, a very big trade, lots of moving pieces. Who wins, who loses? I know people like winners and losers. I'll break that down, as well as all of the action from tonight. This is the Sunday pre-game show. It is not the pre-game show. This is the Sunday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do it, say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere that you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are proudly part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter, at Dan Bespris on Twitter, DanBespris. We have our big trade deadline show, although apparently all the trades are just getting done now. Hopefully we still have some stuff to talk about on Thursday. We do have five games. There was some NBA tonight, but we will talk about the trade because that's what people want to hear about, I think. All right. The pieces that are moving around here, three-team trade. So we had heard that it's De'Aaron Fox and Zach LaVine, basically, but we had heard that there would be a third and or fourth team. It was a three-team trade. The Bulls got involved here with Zach LaVine. So that was the, I guess, the third team, because the Kings and the Spurs were there. The Spurs obviously didn't have to give up a lot of their pieces here. So who do the teams end up with? The Spurs end up with De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin. The Kings end up with Zach LaVine, Sidy Sissoko, some first-round picks, some second-round picks. None of those picks are actually going to matter. Unlikely that they're going to matter. The Bulls, they're just offloading Zach LaVine here for some pieces, not winning pieces necessarily. Probably the bigger takeaway from this, the Bulls portion of this trade, is the fact that they get their pick back from the Spurs. That was part of the DeRozan deal, I think. So to me, when you're getting your own pick back in the next draft or the upcoming draft, you obviously want to be as bad as possible, because you want as high a draft pick as possible. You are not going to get your draft pick back and then load up your squad and try and get the seventh seed or something like that. You want to finish 10th, actually, strike that. You want to finish 11th, 12th, 13th. You want to finish down in the bottom, give yourself the best opportunity to get a top three pick in the draft, which would then indicate that the Bulls are going to be moving Nikola Vucevic. There have been rumors about Lonzo Ball being on the move. I'm not sure that happens. To me, it's Vuce, that he is the guy they will look to move. And if they don't, they will shut him down somehow. I know we don't like that term, but they need to lose. So, common sense would tell us that this is the Bulls we're talking about. So we will see. But to me, that on the surface, that looks like an indication that the Bulls are preparing to tear it down to some degree, which would mean offloading Nikola Vucevic. So winners and losers. Let's start with the Kings, because I think they're the easiest team to break down. All right, so they obviously lose Jordan McLaughlin. That doesn't matter. He wasn't playing. They lose Kevin Huerter. He was barely playing. Doesn't matter. The big one here is Zach LaVine. He will pretty much just come in and take De'Aaron Fox's minutes. Not his role, but his minutes. So I think the Kings will shift Malik Monk to the point guard. He has flashed some really nice playmaking upside. They have DeRozan. They have Sabonis. They now have LaVine. So they have plenty of secondary ball handlers here. So I think LaVine will slot in at the two. 3 alongside DeMar DeRozan. What a nice reunion for DeMar DeRozan after getting away from Zach LaVine. So that's, I think, what happens in terms of the value there with the starters. Monk, look, he gets a bump. I think his assist numbers at least hold steady, if not go up, maybe. I think what this means more for Monk is that his value is now sustainable. Like what he's been doing for the last month, absolutely should be able to keep doing it. LaVine probably takes, I want to say, a small hit here. I don't think it's anything significant. The production probably comes down, the minutes go up. So maybe it balances out here. The Kings do run a relatively, well, not a shallow rotation necessarily, but they play their starters more than the Bulls. So LaVine probably sort of holds steady. I think DeRozan, maybe his assists go up slightly with no De'Aaron Fox there. Keegan, I think he'll hover around the same range. Sabonis. Keon Ellis is the guy we need to talk about here. There had been hope that he was a stash and that he'd move in and play this starter's role. And we talked about the fact that someone sizable was probably going to come back. And they did, Zach LaVine. So Keon Ellis will come off the bench, I think. Look, his minutes may push up slightly because Huerter is gone. Huerter wasn't playing a lot, but I don't think Keon's getting to 30 minutes. Maybe he gets to 25 or 26, which is, look, potentially enough for him to be a back-end sort of streaming specialist, I think. But it's not going to be this breakout 30-plus minutes. Everyone needs to add him. I think if he fits what you're looking for, he's fine. But I really don't see his role changing significantly. All right. So that's the Kings. Let's look at the Spurs because they're right next to them on the screen in front of me. It's easier. So De'Aaron Fox comes in. Jordan McLaughlin comes in. He won't play, I don't think. So we don't need to worry about that. Question marks. There are a few here regarding this Spurs lineup now. Obviously, they were running Chris Paul at the point guard position. So do they play him alongside Fox? I doubt it. They could, but it's I don't know. It could work, I suppose, but neither are, I wouldn't call them reliable floor spaces. They both can shoot the three, Fox more so than Paul, I think. So I think it could work if they just want to keep Chris Paul on the court with Wemby in terms of development and progression, they may do that. If they do that, I think Vassell continues to start, whether it's at the two, whether it's at the three. So I think he's locked in as a starter. Wemby's obviously locked in as a starter. And I think Harrison Barnes is, although, I mean, I rag on him and he's not a great player in terms of fantasy. He fits what they're doing. He's fine out there. So the question mark, I think, for me is, does Chris Paul start? Does Jeremy Sochan come back into the starting lineup at some point? I think he should. I think he's much better as a starter, but it may not happen. It may not happen for a week. It may not happen at all. And then Steph Castle is sort of the wild card. Where does he fit in? Does he move back to the bench and play 22 minutes? Does he start? Do they run with Fox, Vassell, and Steph Castle with Harrison Barnes at the four, Sochan off the bench? So there's question marks here, I think, not unlike the Dallas situation where we're waiting to see what Anthony Davis's role is. I'd like to know what Chris Paul's role is here because that, I think, will determine what they do with these other guys. Who are we adding? Who are we holding? What happens to value? I think Fox sort of holds steady. Vassell probably takes a hit because he's now playing alongside a offensively minded point guard. Vassell is not a drop. I don't think he's a drop. I just think it takes the top off of his value. I do think, though, it could help him in terms of efficiency because he often plays better when he isn't option one or two because he can be a little bit more selective. Defenses are going to have to zero in on Wemby and Fox. So while Vassell's production might come down, I think maybe his efficiency just sort of holds here, holds nice and steady. Sochan is probably, again, is he a drop? He could be a drop. I'm not dropping him yet because, as I said, I want to know or get an indication of what his role is going to be. If it's 24 minutes under, probably a drop. Chris Paul probably only needs about 25 or 26 minutes, whether it's off the bench or starting, because he'll get you 7 assists, he'll get you 2 steals. So I think he does take a hit, but he's probably a hold. And then Steph Castle, again, I would just hold and wait. Let's see what this rotation looks like. So there's a few question marks there for the Spurs in my eyes. Now to the Bulls. Where are the Bulls? Here we go. So for the Bulls, a little bit easier, I guess, because they lost LaVine, but they didn't really have anyone coming back in. No one that's going to demand minutes anyway. So Giddy, White, Ball, Dosunmu all have to be rostered. I think they all get bumps. But do remember, we've seen this Bulls lineup for the last week. So exactly that lineup that I said then, that is what they've been running with. So you could just look at their box score today and say, this is pretty much what we're going to get. It was a relatively competitive game today, so it's a good reflection. And we will talk about what the minutes were and the production and that sort of thing. So I think we're rostering all of those guys. Buzelis is the winner for me. I think he probably is now in a 25-minute role at least, with the projection to get to 28 or 30 at some point. He's been playing better the last few games without LaVine, so we just said this on Twitter, rinse and repeat. This is what we should expect moving forward, because I don't think Kevin Huerter is going to play a lot. I hope he's not. Trey Jones, probably not. And Zach Collins, I guess that's a question. Where does he fit in terms of the Jalen Smith stash capacity? I still think Smith is going to be their priority here if and when Vooch goes, only because they actually went out and got Jalen Smith. Zach Collins was really just someone they had to absorb to get rid of Zach LaVine. So I don't think they view him as this long-term piece, where I think they'd like to see what Jalen Smith can give them. He's also about 3 years younger, I think. So, yeah, I'm still okay on Jalen Smith as a streaming target. But Buzelis, to me, is someone we probably need to roster at this point. All right, let's get to the games. And the Bulls. Oh, perfect segue there. The Bulls lose to Detroit. 127-119. So tick, they get a loss. That's what they're looking for. But let's look at the minutes. Let's look at the production. All the starters played 28-plus minutes. Lonzo is pushing up. I think he maybe gets to 30 at some point, but even 28 is fine. Dosunmu had 14, 3, and 5 with a block. Lonzo had 13, 4, and 2 with a steal. Vooch had 20, 11, and 10. 2 blocks, 1 steal. Josh Giddey, 20 and 10 with 4 assists, 3 steals. And Coby White, 22, 3 and 3. So as I said, all must roster players. They're all going to play 30-plus minutes. Buzelis had 26 minutes. He had 12, 3 and 1. I think this is probably his sort of floor moving forward. I think he'll be a double-digit scorer. I think he'll get some defensive stuff. Couple of assists, some rebounds. So it's not going to be that he's this top 50 guy that wins you your league, but I think he could be top 100 for a stretch, whatever that stretch looks like. Patrick Williams, don't really think he gets much of a change here. He is looking better off the bench. He's more of just a streamer, though, because the minutes are not – he's not playing 30 or anything like that. And even in 30 to 32, he wasn't a must-roster player. So in 20 minutes, 22, 24, he is not a must-roster player. On to Detroit. Tobias Harris, another pretty good game. Maybe this is a thing now. 16, 6 and 2, 3 steals, 2 blocks. The defense is not a real thing, but he has been scoring the ball a lot better. Asar Thompson, 12, 7 and 3 with a steal. The minutes are still a little bit underwhelming, 22. This might just be the way they're going to go, because I don't think they're taking minutes off Malik Beasley. He had 19 points, 3 steals in his 28 minutes. He's just too important to this team. So I think Asar is a hold, but I don't think his ceiling is much above what we're seeing at the moment. Jalen Duren had 21 and 13 with a steal, a nice game for Duren. Obviously looking much, much better at the moment. Cade had 22 and 15, shot the ball poorly, but everything else is good. Hardaway got you one 3.0 if you stream him in. That's really all he is at this point. All right, on to the next game. The Los Angeles Clippers against Toronto. Bad loss for the Clippers here. You'd be wanting to beat Toronto, I think. There was no Norm Powell. He was out with a hip injury. Hopefully just precautionary. No word yet on severity. Derek Jones, he's still very borderline for me. 8, 3, and 1, 2 blocks, 1 steal. That's enough. We'd like probably 12 points, 13 points there, but everything else is good. Kawhi Leonard, 27 minutes, 14, 6, and 3 with a steal. Zubats had 18 and 8 with 3 blocks in 40 minutes. Obviously no Mo Bamba because of the trade. And he, as I discussed on yesterday, no, it wasn't yesterday's show. Whenever we talked about the Mo Bamba and people were saying, oh, is he going to go over to Utah and be this backup? He's not. He was waived. So, yeah, don't worry about Mo Bamba over there. Coffee started. He had 8 and 2. If you streamed him in, it was really just a schedule-based stream, so you are fine to move on from him. For Toronto, we had no... Who am I thinking? Oh, I'm going to have to look. Oh, was it only... No, Davion Mitchell was the late scratch. That's right. Davion Mitchell did not play. So we got... a good game from Grady Dick, 18 points, 3 rebounds, a steal, 2 of 2 from 3. So he is very borderline. He's more of a streamer. Fine if you want to hold him. It does usually take players being out for him to have a chance at a better game. He did also shoot 7 of 9 here, which is not going to happen very often. RJ Barrett, 26 and 7 with 3 steals. Didn't get to the free throw line, which is a win if you have him. Scotty Barnes had 15, 7, and 5 with the block. A little bit passive tonight on offense, but, yeah, it's still fine. They won the game, so they don't care. Well, maybe they do care because they probably don't want to win. Manuel quickly played 17 minutes. He left this game temporarily but did come back. Didn't return to the game, but that was purely the minutes restriction. He had 11 and 6. He's going to be fine. He's someone we're holding, but these minutes restrictions are probably going to hang around for a little bit, so you just have to put up with that. Bruce Brown, after his little hot stretch there, he's called right off. We don't need to be rostering him or Kelly Olynyk. Do remember this was a competitive game that they were winning, so if they're in a blowout that they're losing by 20, we probably get more of Bruce Brown, more of Kelly Olynyk, but it's pretty tough to rely on that. All right, Dallas and Cleveland. Now, this game was just embarrassing, so I'm not even really going to talk about it. The Mavericks basically just rested their entire starting five. And then those that were remaining, Spencer Dinwiddie, Klay Thompson, they barely played them. So, I don't know. Is there anything to talk about? I don't think so. We've got so many people to come back in here. Anthony Davis, there was video of him in Dallas. He is there, so... He'll be back in a couple of games. So I'm not really going to... I mean, Jaden Hardy, he does this. When he gets opportunity, he pops off, but that's not going to happen because they have so much depth. Kyla Kelly, who started at center, had a double-double. You can probably forget that name now. And as for Cleveland, well, we don't really need to talk about them. They scored 91 points in the first half. I think that's what they scored. Just ridiculous. Do I want to talk about anyone? I don't think so. I mean, Caris LeVert returned. He had 10 points. Sam Merrill got hot, 9 threes. If you streamed him in, well done. But again, the starters all played like 20 minutes. So, yeah, nothing to see here. I don't need to look at that box score anymore. Boston at Philadelphia. Boston do get the win, 118 to 110, but it was lucky. Philly were up for a majority of this game. Drew Holiday is doing nothing to convince me that he needs to be held or rostered, so I think we can move on. He had 9, 5, and 5. Very, very, very back end, but he's quite clearly the fourth option at this point. His defense is not what it once was, and they don't need him facilitating because they have basically everyone else on the team that can facilitate. So he's there, His real life impact is far greater than his fantasy impact is at this point. Peyton Pritchard did not play in this one. Sam Hauser had 4 threes off the bench, so he was someone we could have streamed with Pritchard out. For the Sixers, Maxey continues to be very good. Yabusele continues to be very good. We got Ricky Council in for this one. He had 11, 7, and 8 with 2 steals. Really out of nowhere, so fine, whatever. It says they are hoping Embiid and Paul George will return by the end of the week. To me, that's like, okay, are we looking at another week here at least? Because then we're only 2 games away from the All-Star break. I don't know what's going on in Philly. I would be holding Justin Edwards. He didn't do a ton here. He did have a steal and a block with 12 points, but he played 44 minutes, so that's really the biggest takeaway. So I would hold him, Yabusele, Oubre, Maxey. Council is pretty borderline. Eric Gordon was out for this one. I don't think they need him out there. But, if Gordon comes in, presumably he will move back into the starting lineup. So Ricky Council was just that one-off, unless Gordon misses time, which, of course, he very well could. Last game of the night, the Grizzlies up against the Bucks. Good win for the Grizzlies without Ja Morant again. We got Luke Kennard. Didn't do as much this time. He gave us 8 assists. He was a plus 12. So if you streamed him in, it's not all bad. And I would just hold him. If Ja comes back, we're probably okay to move on. Edie started 14 and 11 with a block, so the numbers are good, but only 19 minutes. I don't think 19 minutes is enough for him to be a hold everywhere. Jalen Wells had 6 points. I try to talk about him as a hold if you need points, but yeah, it's pretty underwhelming, to be honest. Bane was good. Aldama, I said you probably just want to stream him in or hold him tonight because he finds a way to put up value, and he did it again, 23 and 8, steal and a block, 3 threes. Scottie Pippen, much better game from him here. This was probably his best game in 2 weeks, a month maybe. 9 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals and a block. Did a great job at shutting down Damian Lillard. But only 23 minutes, and that's been the concern really with Scottie Pippen the whole season, is that they just don't like to push him beyond 25 minutes. So if you need assists and steals, you can give him a look. I don't think Marcus Smart is coming back anytime soon, if at all. Ja Morant will, I guess he'll come back for a couple of games at least. Brandon Clark, 6 and 4 in his 19 minutes. Again, very borderline, much like Zach Edey. Jay Huff is, well, he's out of the rotation at this point, so hopefully no one is holding him. And then we've got 17 minutes of G.G. Jackson, 15 of Jake LaRavia. And they just cut into each other's value there, so I'm not doing too much. For the Bucks, as I said, Lillard well contained in this one, 15 and 9 on 4 of 15 shooting. He will be better than this, don't worry too much. Brook Lopez, 15 points, 2 blocks. He's very annoyed at the end of the game. I'm surprised he didn't get a tech because I don't know what he was saying, but he was quite animated in a discussion he was having with the referee. And it went on for a significant, like 30 seconds, 40 seconds, which is, Draymond Green does that, he gets teched straight away. So, yeah, it does highlight, I guess, some of the inconsistencies in the refereeing. Giannis was good. Middleton had 20 off the bench, so this was one of his good games. That's 2 in a row. There will be a bad one coming, probably. AJ Green had 3 threes. I think he's a far better option than Gary Trent. It's not always going to be Green over Trent, but it was in this one. Torian Prince, 13, 7, and 5 with a steal. I'm not interested in Torian Prince. All right, let's look at some quick questions. Buzelis is the ad, Ricardo. You are right. Yes, he is. Well, he's an ad, yes. Do I think Coby White can rise up to top 50, 60? I think that'd be pushing it. I don't think he can get there. Last year he did, but he had the ball in his hands a lot more. There was no Josh Giddey. No is my answer there. I don't think he can get to that range. Top 80, maybe, sure. Josh Hesmunk moving to top 30. I mean, these are basketball monster projections you need to remember, not mine. They're Josh's. So we're not going to agree on everything. But he has Monk moving into, as a top 30, Giddy top 60. Yeah, look, I think that's fine for Monk. Giddy, that's probably about right. Fox down to 49. I don't know what he was. Oh, he was at 27 before. Yeah, well, I think the bigger thing with Fox here is that his minutes are going to come down. So I don't think his production necessarily takes a significant hit, but yeah, we'll see. He is now playing with or on a team that are not going to run their starters into the ground. That's sort of a different. Okay, this is. Yeah, we don't need to look at that one. Locked on Kings. Yeah, look, they might not be. They may look to bring someone in that hurts Monk, but it's all speculation, and I'm not going to speculate at this point. We'll know in 4 days. Would I trade Giddy for Coby White? In a points league? It's pretty close. I probably wouldn't. Lowndes lost this week 5-4 due to your team only getting 29 steals while you average 40. It happens. Those low volume stats, they are very, very temperamental. Let's say that. Am I in the pantry? I am not. I'm just in the back room, which... does look a bit like a pantry, though, doesn't it? No one said that, but it does when I look at it in my camera, because that could be food on the cupboard, on the shelves behind me. It's not. It's board games and puzzles. Dropped Alvarado, added Jalen Smith. Look, I think that's all right. Do I think Smith has top 60 upside? I'm not sure. I'm not that high on Jalen Smith. I think top 100. Oh, Gibbo says top 80. Maybe top 80, yeah. Alvarado or Collier rest of season? Ricardo Lawrence. Yeah, that's a tricky one. It might be Alvarado there. I don't know. I think we need to wait and see what happens here in New Orleans and in Utah. I'd probably go Alvarado, I think, though, at the moment. Do we need to save our ads this week? Could I at least stream two of my six ads? Yeah, I would just save some. So if you've got six, then sure, use a couple of them. I would just leave myself with probably two or three for that last weekend. Hawkins could start over Alvarado. Absolutely, he could. We don't know. And Hawkins is questionable again tomorrow with the illness. So we may not know even after tomorrow. Is Lonzo a winner? I think he's a winner in terms of his current role is now sustainable. With LaVine floating around there, there was a little bit of uncertainty. But I think if he sticks now in Chicago, he plays 28 minutes plus. He could be moved, though. They have made him available. Whether that means he goes, I don't know. Do I think the Lakers will get Rob Williams or Claxton? I think they'll get someone. Rob Williams is the name that's being floated around. But I think that's more being floated around by fantasy people and people just that want to see it as opposed to people that are actually in the know. So I think he makes sense, as does Claxton, but there's also Nurkic, there's also Capella, there's also Mitchell Robinson. I'm sure there's others. So it could be. I like Rob Williams there. Is Buzelis an ad? I think so. I think I would be trying to get ahead of this one. Yeah, it might not be right now. Like, he's playing 25, 26 now, which is very borderline. But I think he'll probably be top. Once he hits sort of 28 to 30, I think he'll probably be top 100. So, yeah, I think I'd be okay trying to get him now. All right. Nice and quick, 30 minutes. I'm going to get out of here. I have to go and write some stuff and do some stuff. Oh, hang on. We've got Joseph Kim quickly. Is Keon no longer worth a stash? Look, again, if the Kings are not done making moves, then you, if you think that that's the case, then you could hold him. We, again, 4 days, we will know. So if you can just hold him for two more games or three or however many they've got, fine, I would do that. My concern was that his role isn't going to increase that much. And at the moment, that looks like the case, but that could change if they do make some more moves. So, yeah, I don't think he is, but if you are positioned to be able to hold him for the rest of the week, then I would probably consider that. All right. Now I'm going to get out of here. I will be back in the morning with a pre-game show. Everything should be pretty normal this week, I think. Trade deadline show on Thursday, obviously. Go and find that over on YouTube and give it a like. Tune in and watch Dan and I, and he's got a lot of other people coming on the show. It should be fun. Thank you, everyone, for watching along today. Please go and download if you're watching along on Twitter. And I can see the numbers. I know that there's far more people watching on Twitter, which is exactly what I would be doing. But if you can jump over into the YouTube link and just give it a thumbs up and download it. Go and find the podcast, download the podcast version, and then delete it if you don't want to listen to it again, just because they are the numbers that we look at and that count when we, or if and when we can monetize this thing to some degree, they are the numbers we need to get up there. So please go and do that. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBIBasketball.com.